One afternoon in the video store, the clock rang out for lunch. The owner, Dave, craved Taco Bell and a cheesy gordita crunch. Meanwhile, low to the waist, a Morton Hoof sat alone in his room. And Morton Hoof had Bell to sell, but he craved the power of cartoons. Dave and Hoof agreed to sell Bells for tunes and tunes for Bell. Saturday morning apocalypse. Saturday morning apocalypse.
Hello, welcome back to Apocalypse Video's Saturday Morning Apocalypse. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by a ruler of the wasteland, patron of the animated arts, and a no-good stinking teen from Dimension X, Morton Hoof.
We're not square, man. We're so chill. We're frozen, man.
And we're back with Turtles, season 1, episode 4, Hot Riding Teenagers from Dimension X. Okay, so in all fairness, I mentioned in the last episode that I thought episodes 3 and 4 of this 5-episode pilot series of Turtles was a bit superfluous. I think you were right in pointing out, Hoof, that this particular episode is not as superfluous as I once thought, because as stupid as what are they referred to as?
They're neutrinos.
The neutrinos, yes. The neutrinos, a.k.a. the Hot Riding Teenagers of Dimension X, as stupid as they are, they do introduce an important plot element that pays off in the 5th episode. So it is crazy how stupid they are.
No way!
Neutrinos, what? No. You like these guys? Oh my god!
They just want to have fun, man. They're anti-war, man.
Oh, all right. So as soon as I was taken aback when the episode started and the title came up, Hot Riding Teenagers to Dimension X, I'm like, really? Like, it was just such a, even for the Turtles, it was such a dumb idea. I'm like, this is something that would be like in season 5, like when you're really running out of ideas and it's, you're trying to, you know, to play to the kids. Oh, the kids are all cool now. Like they're wearing shorts and they're rollerblading and pogs. Like kids are cool nowadays. Like it seems like that's something you do to appeal to the cool kids of the 90s. But this is 1987. It's just like, I don't know. Like in the pilot, it just, I know that the Turtles are a silly kid show, but this is just one step too far for me. I don't know.
I'm just a kid at heart, man. I can't. I'm down for it. I think that, I guess maybe because I remember the neutrinos.
So they come back.
What's that?
Do they come back?
So that's the thing. Like the neutrinos are imprinted in my brain. Like for a couple of reasons. Like I remember them from the cartoon, so I can't go on record and say they appeared back on this episode or whatever. But I remember them. It may have been just from this pilot episode, but I also remember them because the neutrinos are a big deal in one of the comic runs that I really like for the Turtles. For me, I love the neutrinos because they represent a whole other world, both figuratively and literally, about like the story. And I think that's really cool. Like Dimension X is its own thing, and then there must be a history. And I don't know. I kind of like, it's obviously really, you know, low key in this episode in terms of like their I don't know, the messages, you know, they're anti-war or whatever. But I think it's really cool that they have that, and then, you know, it's a whole, I don't know, it just makes, I guess, at some point you draw the line in terms of craziness, like you're down for, but for me, like I guess I don't have a line. Like let's just go wild, you know, let's just have these crazy kids that are you know, with these floating cars who just want to have fun and play pinball. So
I can appreciate that. I can definitely appreciate the pinball aspect. Maybe this is, the older I get, like the less tolerance I have for stupid kids.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they are dumb kids, no question about that. But I guess I don't know. I'm just at my heart, I'm with the kids, I guess.
You're hot riding around. Get off my lawn, Hoof. But I, you know, you do touch on one thing. Like, I do appreciate that. And again, it's laying the seeds for more story details from Dimension X without just saying Dimension X was this and here because of blah blah blah. Like Crane came here, blah, blah, blah. It's just laying the story details. It's just giving you little pieces, you know, to munch on for Dimension X and get you more interested in that whole aspect. Like, you know, that Mikey said, they're pacifists from Dimension X, a world which apparently is just completely war torn. And everyone is obsessed with war. It's like, I think, isn't there a line where they say, like, they basically teach you to, like fire a gun or something at as a kid or something like that?
Yeah, I guess that. You got any weapons on those hot rods?
Of course, they're required by law.
Yes. That's what I thought the interesting aspect of this episode was, just the implications of Dimension X. And it just got me way excited. Like, it got me thinking, like, okay, for sure there's going to be an episode in the future when the Turtles go to Dimension X.
I'm pretty positive, but I don't remember for sure, but I would bet a small sum of money on it that they do. But do you like because we talked about the teenagers from Dimension X, but we also get some rock soldiers from Dimension X. Are you down for those?
Yes. Yes. So sort of the whole story in this episode is that, so the Mouser droids have failed. Baxter Stockman's been arrested. They did destroy an entire building. Whether or not there were actually people in that building or not, who knows? They don't specify. They just say the cops don't look kindly on buildings being destroyed. But Shredder is now out. All his Mouser droids are out. He's just got Bebop and Rocksteady, and apparently they suck ass. So he's like, I need more bad guys. Like, they're not, those mutant guys aren't doing anything. I need more bad guys. I need soldiers. The foot soldiers suck. I need better people. So Krang's just like, well, why don't you open up this? I forget if Krang is the one who tells him to do this, but basically Shredder uses the portal in the Technodrome to bring soldiers from Dimension X in. He wants weapons. He wants soldiers and he wants weapons, advanced weapons from Dimension X. And honestly, it's a little perplexing why he didn't come up with the solution earlier. But I don't know why he outsourced to New York for Mouser droids before going to this portal with this advanced technology. But anyway, that's another story. But that's basically the whole story. He wants to bring people in. And instead of bringing an entire army in, he happens to get the hot riding... The Neutrogens is... No, that's not right. The Neutrinos. The Neutrinos come in, being pursued by these rock soldiers. And so Shredder didn't get exactly what he wanted here, but that's basically the story of this episode. Like, Shredder wanted soldiers, and instead he got Neutrogens, a.k.a. Neutrinos.
In a moment, the gateway between Earth and Dimension X will be open for the first time. All those weapons, guns from beyond our universe will be mine. Now, to gain the power of Dimension X. Stop them!
Right, and... So we have two rock soldiers who are basically the equivalent of Bebop and Rocksteady, although they don't look as like unique or whatever because they're just rock dudes. But I think they're cool. And again, like, this as a kid, I'm like, more toys, yeah.
They're definitely setting up a lot of toys in this episode. And speaking of toys, we get the fully realized turtle van in this episode.
Yep, the turtle van is here. And then. Again, we talked about it last episode, but it's really cool that Donatello pretty much made the entire van. It looks all decked out. Everything, I don't know, like, I think that this episode does a lot to, like, just add more detail, cool details to the show. So I think that...
Yeah, I'll give you
in
that.
The grand scheme of things, you're probably right that this story probably could have been cut from a 3-episode arc or whatever, and it would have been
condensed,
streamlined.
Well, just condensed, I think. Maybe not cut, but condensed.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm still down for it. I think that there's a lot of, like, I like this. I think that this episode adds a lot more value in terms of, like, whether it's toy sales or story building, world building, whatever, than maybe like last episode. But yeah, a lot of cool stuff happens in this episode. I think that it's really busy, but it's cool. Like, there's I like that. So one of the things that the rock soldiers bring is this weather machine bomb thing. That it's so cool because it's like a weather maker bomb, but he flips the switch and it's like
total chaos.
Yeah, and then so starts out like mild winds, light rains, and then it's like total chaos. He throws it in the air and it's just like tornadoes, snow, and like literal ice cube or like giant ice cubes are falling from the sky. It's awesome.
This weather satellite will take care of them and the neutrinos.
But we don't need to know what the weather is.
This doesn't report weather, you idiot. It makes weather. It's Krang's own design. Fair with high clouds, mild showers. Aha! Total chaos! Within 2 hours, the weather it creates will stamp this city flat. To the Technodrome!
I love it. But one quick thing regarding the turtle van. I want to point out, I love the fact that Donatello puts a logo for the turtles on the front of the van. Turtles! Like, I love that shit. But this is I want to talk about the van more. We're talking about toys.
Let's talk about the van.
Like, it is fully equipped. Like, there's like a side door that comes out, and like a fucking gun turret thing comes out, like from the side. Like, this thing is in the pantheon of great toys, this has to be up there. The turtle van.
I had. This
I mean,
one
you
too.
Had like the AT-AT Walker from Empire Strikes Back. That was like a cool, awesome toy to have. The Millennium Falcon and like this. And the Technodrome. Like, how many? Jesus Christ! Like, I think there was a whole episode of The Toys That Made Us just on the turtles.
Yeah, the van was awesome. I got so much. I had the van. I got so much use out of it. You could put it. I love the little side door thing was so cool because it had room to sit your turtle there. You'd have a turtle driving. It was awesome. It was like fully sized too, so it was to scale. It was awesome.
With the figures, that is an important thing because usually with these play sets, they didn't allow for the actual full-size action figure to go in them. It was always some dinky. And that was the one thing I always hated about those toy sets is that you couldn't put your figure in. It was always like a stupid miniature, you know, like 1-inch quote-unquote figure that you put in these play sets. And that always pissed me off. I was like, they're not fully posable. I can't play with these little things. You know, like I wanted my actual action figure in the play set. And with these, you got that.
The turtles are assaulting the Technodrome! Inside are the Foot Clan's weapon storage chamber, Krang's laboratory, and Shredder's master control room!
Huh? Turtles? Oh, they've been spotted!
Now they'll have to watch out for the iSpy radar, that hidden news pit, the spike back door!
Turtle soup time!
Oh no, an ooze scanner, a brain scrambler, and mutant manacles! Can Leonardo rescue them?
Sure hope so!
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles!
From Playmate!
I might be misremembering, but I think there was like a cannon on it or something like that. And I think
on the roof or something, right? Yeah.
But yeah, it was awesome. I think we talked about the turtle toys. Like, turtle toys ruled. There was so many, and they had a lot of vehicles that were great too.
They came with weapons too.
Yeah, definitely. But the van is awesome, and then they drive down and. You know, they throw in the joke about, and I think this is something that they didn't do in the Sharks, because we talked about the Sharks a lot in these episodes and why turtles are better. So the turtles and Sharks are both teenagers, but they do more in turtles to show like why they're teenagers or to emphasize that they're kind of immature or whatever. So they wrecked April's apartment. Michelangelo tries to drive and he's like, oh, I can't drive. And then he just like hits.
I'm 15 years old.
Yeah, he hits a fire hydrant and just like squeals off or whatever.
Yeah, that's one thing I like about this. They never forget that they are teenagers. Like there's a point when they're in the van, and Leonardo is just like slicing shit up, and Donatello's like, "What the hell are you doing?" He's like, "Well, I gotta practice." You know, like, you know, Donatello, could you make the roof a little higher? I gotta practice. Like, you're right. They are immature. They are stupid. I mean, Donatello is intelligent. You know, he's a. What did they say in the? He's good with machines, or what did they say in the song?
Oh, in the song, yeah, he builds machines.
Yes. Oh no, they say Donatello does machines.
Oh yeah, he does machines, and he has like a giant coffee maker or whatever.
But yeah, as the TV execs would say, turtles were very toyetic. But But getting back to kind of the plot of this episode, like, one thing, as superfluous as some of the stuff may be, and like I said, I feel like it could have been condensed, I like the fact that they slow down a bit in this episode for a moment and have the turtles, like, basically relate to the neutrinos. You know, the neutrinos don't want to fight. They just want to party. They want to have fun. And again, it's touching on what we said about the fact that they are teenagers. So you get a moment when they're in this arcade and they get to be teenagers. Like, I appreciated that. That was a nice little character moment.
Yeah, they're playing just video games and stuff like that. And then, so there's something that I think it's alluded to lightly in the episode. But like Michelangelo, I think he kind of has a crush on the girl neutrino.
Yes.
So, and I like that because it's like, it's really like, it's super light, but it's there. And I think that's cool. Like that's something that the teenagers would kind of have.
Absolutely. Yeah. They'd be horny.
Yeah. And they're intimidated by April, who's a lot older than they are. So,
yeah, I mean, she has breastises.
But yeah, I think that we get more further dynamics with Shredder and Krang. And then this is where I think this is the episode where Shredder agrees to finally build a body. Like, we don't see it yet, but I think he agrees in this episode.
Well, that's kind of the cliffhanger moment. It's after the neutrinos come back. It's like, we love this place, but we got to go back to. So basically they're getting pursued by the rock soldiers as you mentioned, the weather maker, they throw that up in the air. They got to stop that. And they also got to try to stop, Krang and Shredder. And at the end of the whole thing, and honestly, I thought it was kind of, anticlimactic, the finale of this episode. I mean, it's just basically all they do is they shove the stone warriors through the portal and then they pretty easily destroy the weather maker. Like, it was kind of anticlimactic, I thought. It wasn't as triumphant as I thought it would be.
I don't know. I thought it... Well, there, two things happen. One thing is really funny is that when they are in the Technodrome and they're fighting at the kind of the final battle between the rock monsters and the turtles, I think it's Donatello, he's like, oh, there's a barrel of silicon just hanging out in the corner of the room. And he's like, just tip that over. And so they just, this random barrel, like, I've never seen something like that. It was just obnoxious, but it's so funny. But yeah, they tip it over. Then they can finally slide the rock creatures back in there. And then, but the cool thing that happens is when they do destroy the weather maker, Leonardo does this badass leap from the flying car and he slices it in half. And then the turtles, like, zoom around in the sky with their flying car and catch him on when he's fallen. It's badass. It looks cool. So I don't think it's anticlimactic.
Well, it seems like there wasn't a whole lot of conflict for them to overcome is the problem with the Weathermaker. Like, they pretty easily get rid of it.
Yeah, well, the Weathermaker wasn't, like, the main enemy. It was just a distraction, true. Really.
Well, the main enemy was the rock soldiers and Shredder. And again, like you said, let's just shove that like random tub of silicone over and push them into the push them into the portal. It just seemed like it was wrapped up a little too quickly for my taste. I would have liked a little bit more conflict, a little bit more obstacles for them to overcome.
Well,
but that's not the end of this episode. And I'm not talking about the cliffhanger with Shredder saying, all right, fine, Krang, live your body, shut the fuck up. Like, there is a creepy moment at the end of this episode after the neutrinos are gone. Like, they basically decide, like, you know what, we can't stay here. This isn't our world. Even though we hate Dimension X, like, we got to go back home. They go through the portal, and we cut back to the turtles, and we see them without their bandanas in a four-bed cot, and the turtles without their bandanas, I'm just going to say it, are nightmare fuel. I was freaked the fuck out by the way they looked without their bandanas. Am I the only one here?
I mean, they are. Yeah, they're creepy for sure.
They're creepy! I was freaked out by the way they looked. It was like, I was like, please put your bandanas back on. Like, it freaked me out. If I were a kid watching this, I wouldn't have watched it. I would have continued watching the turtles. It was fucking weird looking.
Then maybe that's why they wear bandanas, because Shredder thought that too. So he's like, God, these things are awful.
I want Shredder's side now. Like, those fucking things need to be wiped out. They're
Splinter. He must have seen the turtles when he was raising them. Like, oh god, these guys are freaks, and he made them wear bandanas.
It's like I don't know what it is, but it's like just the dark, just like just the their eyes. There's something about their eyes without the bandanas. It's just like freakish looking. Like it reminded me of the speech in Jaws when he's like, oh, they got black eyes like a doll's eyes. You know what I mean? It's just like it made me thank God that the bandanas they weren't separate accessories for the turtle toys. Like the bandanas were always on the turtles. Because I would not want to play with the turtles without their bandanas.
Yeah, mandatory bandanas.
What should have been the cliffhanger moment was the moment that got me on board for the next episode. Ah, cool, Krang's getting a body. No, it was completely kaput by this freakish moment with the turtles without their bandanas. Like I became fixated on it at the end. I was just like, oh my god, I don't know. It blew my mind. Like I had never seen them without their bandanas. I just assumed they would have normal looking eyes. It shook me. Hoof.
You were shook?
I was shook. I'm probably like the only one that reacted so strongly to this in history, but I don't know. It freaked me out. It left me unsettled.
Good. A new weapon I have against you.
But that's where we'll leave you now for this installment of Saturday Morning Apocalypse Unsettled. We'll be back with the conclusion of the 5-arc Turtles pilot series, episode 5, Shredder and Splinter.
Sure are getting some weird characters in here, Louie.
Eh, what are you expecting this crazy town?